Christmas is a time for celebration. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell recounts the most amazing event in world history.
You know what this world needs? Some men and some women who would say, Lord, I'll make room for you. You can come in and be my Savior. I can't save myself. I know I'm a sinner. My wife knows it for sure. I need a Savior. And friend, if you're willing to humble yourself and admit that you need a Savior, He's willing to save you today.
Every year, the story of Christmas is told and retold. But Christmas is more than just an event. It's a promise of hope. Long after the celebrations are over and the lights have come down, the promise of Christmas endures. Christmas begins what Easter celebrates. The child in the manger became the king on the cross. In today's series, The Heart of Christmas, we will discover the difference the promise of Christmas can make in our lives all year long. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Heart of Security.
I love the story of a little boy that was getting into the Christmas spirit. He took some time to think about what he wanted for Christmas and some of the presents he felt he needed. And he sat down at the kitchen table and he began to write God a letter. And as he wrote the letter, he said, Dear God, I have been very good for 6 months now. And then he thought a little longer and he crossed that out and said, 3 months now. And then he thought a little longer and said, 2 weeks now. And the more he thought about it, he got a little discouraged and he lifted up from the table and he went into the dining room area where his mother had a little nativity scene. And he looked at that nativity scene and he saw the Virgin Mary in the nativity scene. He picked her up and brought her back with him to the kitchen table and continued writing the letter to God. And he said, Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again. Now, thankfully today, the presence of God is not found in the form of a statue. Thank God today that we're not here praying to statues and that we're not looking to a stone figurine to find the presence of God. Thank God that He lives within our hearts through His Holy Spirit. And I love what one author said. He said, Christmas is not about presents, it's about His presence. And I hope that you've come to the place in your Christian life where the number one desire you have this season is a close fellowship with your God. I think the greatest thing at this time of year, the greatest present that we could ever possess, is to know that we are saved and that we are right with God. What a tremendous, tremendous way to begin the new year, knowing that you are enjoying the presence of your God. Well, this morning we're going to see that His presence is always with us, and that He is always in control of our lives during every season of our lives. And we see that as we begin this morning in a very strange way. I want you to notice a divine proclamation that is made throughout the world in Luke chapter 2. A divine proclamation. We read about it in verse number 1. It says, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now notice, if you would, a very powerful order that is made. A powerful order. It is made by the decree of Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus ruled, of course, in Rome. He ruled the Roman Empire. He was the most powerful man on planet Earth. The expanse of the Roman Empire. How it went from Spain and up into England all the way over to what is now called the Holy Land, Northern Africa. This was a powerful man making a very powerful decree. This man ruled from 27 BC until 14 AD. He commanded some 170,000 soldiers. He had many outposts of his government that needed to be supported. And so the Bible says that he made a decree for the purpose of taxation. I personally believe that here in the United States of America, our financial house is getting way out of control. It seems that our government prints more money. It seems that they're passing laws to enact all kinds of programs that we cannot afford to pay for, and it seems as though we're just spinning out of control, and the answer for some apparently is not much unlike the Roman Empire, just give more taxes in order to solve the problem. It seems that men sometimes learn very little from history. And this was the problem in Rome. The empire was expanding, the Roman roads needed to be maintained, the military needed to be supported, all of the outposts and the desire for expansion needed somehow to be paid for, and so a powerful order came down that all the world should be taxed. Now, a few weeks ago, we studied the revived Roman Empire of the last days. Here you see it in the first century form, a worldwide empire issuing a worldwide tax. And the Bible says this happened when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. He was governor from 4 BC until 1 BC, and so this places us at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Syria, of course, just north of what we would call the modern-day Holy Land. And it was during this time of his leadership that all the citizens of the Holy Land, all of these people throughout the Roman Empire, were sent to their home city for the purpose of registering and paying a tax. Now, perhaps you have noticed in your lifetime that often the declarations and the demands of our society are in opposition to our plans and desires. Most people do not like more taxes. Most people would not like to be told to travel 70 miles one way when your wife is 9 months expecting to pay taxes. A lot of times things come into our lives that are not according to our plan. Sometimes circumstances will come into our lives that are out of our control. They just simply happen or they are told to us. And it seems as though God is unaware of what is happening. That may have been the assumption of many on this first Christmas story. And yet the fact of the matter is that life is full of unavoidable circumstances. Life is full of various situations that are known only to God. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 13, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Have you ever tried to argue with God? Have you ever wondered, "Lord, what are you doing?" But the scriptures tell us the Lord doesn't get his counsel from us. The Lord doesn't take his pointers from us. He is working in ways that we may not understand. And sometimes our disappointments are his appointments. And we see that today in the Christmas story. Joseph and Mary are going to travel 70 miles to pay taxes of all things in Bethlehem, something that they no doubt would never have planned. And yet all the while, God was at work. Let me show you how. We see a powerful order, but behind that powerful order, we see a providential plan. A providential plan. Many times in the circumstances of our lives that we do not understand, circumstances that are out of our control, God is still at work. Notice in verse 3 what the Bible says. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." It was by the providential plan of God that Joseph and Mary would go to their hometown, the town of their ancestors. For as the scriptures foretold, they were of the house of David. And that is very significant when we consider that Jesus Christ will rule and reign forever from the throne of David. And so he went to his town of Bethlehem. What seemed strange to them, and what sometimes seems strange to us, was actually exactly according to the timetable of God. For the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, and he sent his Son to redeem us from our sin. And he did this in the fullness of time. And so, unbeknownst to Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world, he was nothing more than a puppet in the hand of God. And God was behind the scenes rearranging the world's population for a moment in order to bring His Son into the world according to the prophecy of Scripture. And I say to you this morning that many times God is behind the scene working in ways that are unbeknownst to us. Joseph's family lineage dictated that he would go to Bethlehem. And the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water he turneth it, whithersoever he will. Sometimes as conservative, Bible-believing Christians, we do not understand, yea, we do not appreciate many of the turning events in the world in which we live. We do not understand the radicalism that is oftentimes shown in forms of disregard for unborn children. We do not appreciate so many times the pluralism that is thrust upon us. It seems as though there is a government religion, and it is the religion of all religion. And it seems that there are many changes in our lives that we really would rather not experience. But we must remember that even as God was using behind the scenes, controlling the Roman Empire to bring the first coming of His Son to pass, so it is that even now, as God allows kingdoms to change and fall and reposition, He is preparing this world for the second coming of His Son. And my friends, when Jesus comes the second time, He will not be born in a manger. He will come on a white horse with His vesture dipped in blood, and He will establish His kingdom according to the Word of God. God's divine proclamation shows us that He is sovereign in the affairs of men. But notice, secondly, this morning, there was a planned destination. There was a point to this journey. It was not some type of a cruel God in heaven playing games with the humanity below Him. But He had a purpose in this. Verse 4 tells us, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, the Bible is replete with prophecies. The Bible is a predictive book. And throughout the Scripture, God prophesied great and wonderful events. And we know that in the Old Testament, many, many times, He prophesied the coming of His Son. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. He promises in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so God would take this unpleasant journey and He would bring it to good. And He would fulfill His plan according to His prophesied word. And so notice that this planned destination brings them, first of all, to a prophesied city. They will come to Bethlehem, the Bible says. And this was prophesied. And I want you to see it in your notes because it proves to us the infallibility of the Bible. Fulfilled prophecy is one proof of the infallibility of the Bible. And in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now meditate on that verse, Micah 5, 2, because God not only tells us where His Son will be born, Bethlehem, He not only tells us that hundreds of years before He was born, but He tells us of the nature of His Son. He says of His Son, whose goings are from old and from everlasting. Jesus would not be some human being who began His existence on that first Christmas morning. But He is the one who is from everlasting. My friend, Jesus Christ is eternal God. He has all of the attributes of deity. He is all-knowing. He is pre-existent. From everlasting, Jesus Christ came into this world. And so David's birthplace, now the son of David also would be born according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He came to Bethlehem, about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, not a real big city, not the place where everybody went for tourism, but it was the place that God had ordained His Son would be born. It was a prophesied city, but it was secondly a providing city. This little town of Bethlehem was a town that provided physical bread for the region. It was an agricultural area. It was a shepherding area. And it is a beautiful area indeed. We were there in Bethlehem, of course, now a part of the West Bank and the inner city portion, somewhat tense and not real clean with the traveling of so many different people going through. But the region around Bethlehem reminded me of the stories I had heard of this town of David, the shepherd boy, the human author of Psalm 23, of this place where my Savior was born. And the sheep were still grazing and the countryside still beautiful. It was a place with many terraced mountains, and you could see as the shepherds had made little folds up the mountainsides, and they would take the rocks and create sheepfolds for their flocks. And it was in this region that Jesus Christ was born, a place of physical bread. But more than that, Bethlehem would be known as the place where spiritual bread would be provided for all who were hungry for generations to come. The Bible says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. This child, Jesus Christ, would be the bread of life for all who would partake of the bread of life. Now turn in your Bible for a brief moment to John chapter 6 and verse 32. And let's see how Bethlehem, the house of bread, that's what Bethlehem means, became the birthplace to the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And the Bible says that in John chapter 6 and verse 32. John 6, 32. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. That sounds like Micah 5, 2, doesn't it? The one that's from everlasting. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now we have some friends who attend religious ceremonies where a priest will call the people to the front and will give to the parishioners a wafer as they come, and oftentimes place it right into their mouth. And when he does, he says to them, receive Christ, receive Christ. And the doctrine behind that practice is called transubstantiation. And it is a teaching which says that the bread and the juice become Christ. And it is one of the forms that our friends believe is necessary to receive Christ, by taking that wafer and by having it become Christ in them. How many of you are so thankful this morning that you do not receive Christ by receiving a wafer, but that Jesus Christ himself is the bread of life? And that when we receive Christ by faith, we are filled, and at that moment we are filled with his righteousness, and we are forgiven, and we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Bethlehem means the house of bread, and it was there that the bread of life was made available to all who believe. And so a divine proclamation was made, spinning people out of their comfort zone, yes, but sending Joseph and Mary to a prophesied place, to a planned destination. And then notice finally this morning that there was a heavenly presentation to be made there. In this beautiful city of Bethlehem, there would be a very special presentation made to the world. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now here we see a very special delivery. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem's manger. And I want you to see, first of all, the presentation in Bethlehem. I want you to notice that here in verse number 6, it says that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Jesus Christ was born. And we see him, first of all, as the son of Mary, no doubt. Mary was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see him as the son of Mary, identifying with humanity. We see Jesus Christ as the son of man. The Bible says in Romans 1:3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. The Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And as Bible-believing Christians, we identify and believe in this fact that Jesus Christ was born in the flesh and that he was the Son of Man, in the sense the Son of Mary. But you see, that is where false teaching leaves off. False teachers believe that Jesus was the Son of Man, but they do not believe he was the Son of God. My friends, he was the Son of Man, and he was and he is the Son of God. And that's what we celebrate today. Romans 1 and verse 3 speaks to him as being according to the flesh, but Romans 1 and verse 4 states it this way, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And this is what the angels proclaimed in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And this is what was given to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. My friend, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And many today give credence to Jesus as a prophet, as a teacher, as some great world leader. But until you see him for who he is, you cannot truly understand his greatness and be saved. For he was not merely another teacher, merely the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. Let me show you a great verse that you can use in your witnessing. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Because you want to see this in your Bible and you want to have it underlined. It really, in this day of religious confusion, helps us to see Jesus Christ for who he is. 1 Timothy 3:16. And listen to these words. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Let's say that together, shall we? God was manifest. Now, my friend, how much more plain did God have to be in the Bible? Who is Jesus, someone might ask. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There are many churches with steeples and pews and pastors who deny that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And my friend, that truth is the cornerstone of our faith. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was not part man and part God. He was 100% man and 100% God. Therefore, when he died on that old rugged cross and shed his blood for our sin, his blood made the payment for the sins of the world, because he was not just another man, he was the God-man come down to save this world from their sin. And so the presentation in Bethlehem was the Son of Man and the Son of God. But let's take a look finally at the picture at Bethlehem. Let's just try to get that picture in your mind. I don't know if you're like me. When I read the Bible, I like to picture sometimes the stories of the Bible and the places of the Bible. And in verse 7 it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Isn't that a beautiful picture in our minds this morning? The picture of Jesus Christ in the manger with his mother Mary nearby. You know, there's something about just beholding a baby. You just enjoy looking at God's creation.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.